Hi, this is Fabi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like...
I olvidé cancelar el mariachi.
Hello, hello, hello.
Kashow, kashow, kashow.
What is cracking, Babelito?
A lot of amazing Mexican food. Every day, I'm in heaven. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Okay, let's get into it. What are you talking about? What did you have for lunch today?
Today, I had... I ordered a taco plate from my favorite Mexican restaurant in Pilsen here in Chicago. And it had un taco de carnitas. Güey, las carnitas aquí en Chicago no tienen madre. It's like there's a lot of people from Michoacán.
No tienen madre?
They're so fucking good.
They're orphans?
Orphan tacos, yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
I had a taco of carnitas, uno de barbacoa, and uno de al pastor. But can we talk about barbacoa for a second before you tell me what you ate?
Sure.
Okay, so barbacoa is not just like one type of meat. And barbacoa de chivo is common in the north, but it's almost like dry. It doesn't have, like, juices. Every single time I order barbacoa, I'm hoping to get Juarez-style barbacoa, and it's different. Sometimes it's como con adobada, like, with spices and juicy. Like, what is your... when you think of barbacoa, what do you think about?
I'm vegan, so, like, I don't think about it.
Pendejo.
Barbacoa is usually red, no? Like carne de shredded meat red with, like... Sometimes it's juicy. No, juicy is like birria, right?
La birria, right. Yeah. Right. So that's why I get confused. So I don't know. Like,
it's regional. So... It doesn't matter, bitch. It's regional. Like, you can go to any part of Mexico and enchilada is a different thing. So
right.
It just depends on where the people are from.
The same thing with mole. Like, I didn't know that till like not too long ago. But like mole means just sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And we think of mole, we think of a very specific sauce. But anyway, so I had that and it was wonderful. But since I've been here, I've been doing nothing but eating Mexican food, the carnitas. Everything is fucking amazing here. But anyway, ¿tú qué comiste?
Today I had Thai food for lunch. Yes. My favorite Thai food, my favorite kind of dish is noodles. Duh. And I had pad say you. That's my fave. Top fave. Because it's like the flat noodle that they saute, you know, they like almost fry it. Uh-huh. And then it usually comes with a bunch of vegetables. It's delicious. Usually broccoli, Chinese broccoli, broccoli raw, whatever they call it, where you're from, and bok choy. It was delicious.
Yum. Yeah. But I never ordered pad see you till I met you. You started ordering that and now like I order it all the time.
Anytime I go to a Thai place and I order, I get the tom kha soup, pad see you, maybe some spring rolls if I'm feeling frisky. That's it. It's so good. And I got them from this really great place in Harlem because I'm in New York City right now.
Dude, I cannot keep up with you. You've been everywhere. Last time I saw you, you were in Pennsylvania. And what else have you been up to? You're everywhere.
Well, the last time we were together, we were installing my show at the Berman Museum in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. That's only like 45 minutes west of Philly. Depending on traffic, it could be a little longer, you know. The show there opened on September 7th, and it was so much fun. Shout out to everybody at the Berman Museum. They were amazing. I was so sad to leave. I've never been so sad to leave white people before. It was incredible. They're so great.
I saw a picture of, like, your crew, the students from the university wearing your t-shirt. That's
bitch.
Like, that almost made me cry. That was amazing.
I did cry. I was like, oh my God, shout out to Teddy Caputo and Danny. They were like my main assistants. And for the opening, they decided to all wear like my skeleton shirt. So they all bought one and they all had red blazers on and stuff. They're so sweet. They're amazing.
That's awesome.
And in Philly, I feel like in Philly, and oh my God, did I talk about the...
No, go for it.
Did I talk about the mole that I had in Philly, bitch?
What?
Oh my God. Shout out to our comadre Luis Rodriguez, who lives in Baltimore. He came to visit me and help me for like a week while I was there. Oh my God, this is gonna be like a shout out episode, bitch. So we went to this place called South Philly Barbacoa.
Yeah.
And the food, girl. Oh my God. I had enchiladas de mole, con mole. They were the bomb. They were
enmoladas.
Like
enmoladas.
Okay, that's it. And it was I felt like I was back in Puebla, bitch. It was incredible.
Neta, así de ricas estaban. Pero era like
even better, bitch. I don't
like
even know.
Like mole poblano or like mole oaxaqueño or like just mole?
I don't know what it was. It was just delicious. I'm no mole elitist, okay? But it was better. I'm not going to say what it was better than. It was good. It was really
a poblano,
good.
A poblano led you to that. So it had to be good. If he likes it, it was going to be
yes.
Good.
So shout out to Luis. And shout out to Luis for bringing me mezcal. And also... Okay, so what I loved about these enchiladas was that, you know how usually they roll them? You know, we're from El Norte, so like enchilada, I feel like my grandma always makes enchiladas con salsa roja.
Uh-huh.
And it's always like cheese or potato, and then it's like rolled up, and then like the sauce is like poured over it, you know?
Oh, my family makes them different.
Okay, explain.
So my mom actually fries la tortilla poquito para que no esté
oh,
tan aguada.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, that's a given.
No, pero espérate.
Okay.
Y luego mete la tortilla en la salsa y luego lo vuelve a freír. So when you get the enchilada, they're like the chile es a little quemadito. ¿Por qué? ¿Por qué you're shaking your head?
Because I'm having a heart attack just thinking about it. Oh, my God.
So I call them enchiladas de kermes because it's just not like they're just like fried.
Oh,
anyway,
my gosh. Okay.
So your grandma pours like the chile on top of it.
Yeah, and then she just puts a bunch of queso on top, like queso ranchero, like or menonita. Yeah, yeah. You know, there's a lot of menonitas in Durango. So hell,
menonitas.
Hella cheese. Okay. Anyway, these were different. They were like, okay, they individually fried the tortillas and then folded them in half like tacos. Yes. And then put the filling in. And then spread the mole on top, bitch. And then they just sprinkled queso fresco on the top.
Gloria a Dios. Alabaré.
And they're filming a chef's table about the woman that runs the restaurant. She's amazing. You're going to put the link on the website because I forgot her name. So
okay, I'll find it.
Google it, loca. Yes, it's amazing. Okay. Anyway, back to Philly. I found this bakery in Collegeville, Pennsylvania, where I was at. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying not to eat meat, right? So, like, I feel like I ate every kind of fried food, any kind of fried vegetable possible. So, oh my God, bitch. By the time I left Philadelphia, I was like,
haciendo agua la boca, wey.
I know. It was just so good. Anyway. By the time I left Philly, I was like, okay, I'm gonna just like try not to eat fried food anymore because I'm gonna die. And then I got to Portland, Maine, and of course it's just a bunch of white people drinking beer and like frying food there too. Thankfully, I hung out with a lot of my old friends that I met when I was there doing my installation at Space Gallery. Actually, yeah. I think that installation comes down next week, so you can still go see Pólvora at Space Gallery on Congress. But the reason I was there was to do a self-guided printmaking workshop with Pilar Nadal. She is the director of this really cool, like, queer run. I mean, most of the people that are there are queer. It was so cool. Such a great space. And I learned how to use this machine called the Vandercook Press. So it's like a letter press. So you get old school wood blocks with letters. And then you run them through. So they have like hundreds of fonts that they've collected that are old, like from the 40s, from the 50s.
That's
and you
so
can
cool.
run it. It was so cool. And I made a bunch of like posters and like cards and postcards with Latinos Who Lunch sayings. So
I saw them. They're so fucking good.
Hopefully, I didn't make a lot of them. They're just kind of tests, but hopefully in the future, I'm going to have Pickwick Independent Press make a bunch for our merch, which is coming soon to a website near you. Yeah.
You know, my family actually has had print shops for, I'm going to say, the last 30 years or so. My Aunt Rosa, shout out to my Aunt Rosa. She's retired. She lives in El Paso, but she opened her print shop like in the early 90s. And that was one of my first jobs. I was a kid and I used to clean those, but they had those machines. So like back in the day, every time there was like an invitación de una quinceañera, una boda, whatever, you would have to put, you know, word like letter by letter. And when I saw that print, that machine in your Insta stories, it reminded me because like I grew up around those machines. It's so crazy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I forgot to take you there when we were in El Paso. So, okay, you were in Maine and you were doing a workshop and then you went to Boston and I know you saw one of our favorite.
Oh, my God.
Favorite
My big sis, Irene Mata. Oh, Dr. Irene Mata. Yes. I hung out with her the weekend and also Dave Olson Tang. I hang out with him. He's the guy that Irene and David flew us out to Wellesley College to do that live Latinos Who Lunch, and I got to hang out with Irene in Boston, and we went to Salem, Massachusetts, where all the white witches lived. It was great. It was a nice like 3 or 4 days that I was there. Oh my gosh, I love Irene so much. I had such a great time with her. We ate a lot. It was really good. And also her partner Genevieve cooked for us. She made like the best rice and beans. I love hanging out. You know, like sometimes when you go visit a city like Boston, you're like, why am I here? Like like this
monuments town, everywhere.
This town is not for me. But right. When you go with the right people and they take you to the right places, it makes all the difference, you know? It's so cool.
I feel like a lot of people feel like that about Las Vegas, where they go, they're like, why am I going to Vegas? And like when they go with the right people and do the right things, that's exactly what they get.
Like, totally. I feel
like throughout the years, you've converted a lot of people into Las Vegas because, you know, it's a different version.
And now I'm never there. So it's like, what the fuck? But I'm going back in the wintertime. I can't wait. maybe for Thanksgiving. So, so then I ended, that was just like to hang out for a couple days, which was fun, not to work. And now I am in the Bronx recording in my hotel room because I'm doing an installation actually in Harlem. I think they just got a cheap hotel over here because, you know, it's New York and everything's $1,000.
Super expensive, yeah.
But I'm commuting back and forth from Harlem and I'm doing an installation at the Sugar Hill Children's Museum of Art and Storytelling, and we started today. Yeah.
And how long are you going to be there?
Until October 12th.
Damn, hasta el Día de la Raza.
Sure. I planned that. So if anybody's in New York, I already got a few Instagram messages and wants to meet up, please feel free to come by the museum, message me. But also, there's a few events that are happening here in New York with some of our friends from Latinos Who Lunch. So this Friday, there was going to be a SCUM here in Brooklyn, New York.
That's right. I forgot about that.
So I will be there. So if anybody wants to meet me, I will be at SCUM this Friday here in New York. And then Perez and Veronica are doing a live Radio Menea, the first ever live Radio Menea at New Latin Wave, that New Latin Wave Festival. I think it's the last Sunday of the month. I think it's like September 30th. Uh-huh. Go on Radio Menea's website. They have a discount code. You can click through the link from one of their episodes and get like $10 tickets or something. Don't quote me on that, but it's a discounted rate. I'll be there too. So if y'all want to come hang out with podcasters and the Latinx crew, come on down.
Shout out to Vero Valletti Flores because she mentions us in a post in New Latin Wave. So that was pretty cool. By the way, we were featured at fucking iTunes.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Is it?
It is.
Oh, okay. I'm not.
Because, I mean, we've been talking about sending an email to them so they can feature us in their thing, and now we just like magically appear. And I also noticed that now you just type Latinos and we're the first thing that pops up.
So you think that's magic? Our podcast is called Latinos Who Lunch and we have over 100 episodes. That's not magic, before, bitch. That's work.
No way. Pero before, antes uno le picaba y ponía Latinos y no salía nada. You had to type Latinos who, por lo menos. Y ahora ya.
The impact. The LWL impact.
Baby steps, baby. Baby steps.
Oh, God.
So I want to talk about something because we haven't
wait, recorded. Where are you? I'm in New York. Where are you?
Pues donde siempre, güey, in Chicago.
People don't know. People still ask me every fucking day where you are because they can't listen to this podcast. So what are you doing in Chicago?
So I'm here in Chicago. I'm actually right now in my gigantic office in the University of Illinois at Chicago. I got a visiting professorship position for a year to 2 years. I teach colonial Latin American art, and I also teach a seminar on sentimentality, and my classes are going awesome. My classroom is beautiful, man. It's so beautiful. It's like, it's mostly brown kids. Most of them are Latinx kids. They're so engaged, and it just goes to show you that even though my class may seem boring, because like, wow, colonial art, there's a real need for this type of classes. I've never had, and this is not to say that there's like better or worse classrooms, but I've never had a classroom so engaged. They're always asking questions. They're sending me emails about things they see on the streets. And it's starting to get to me, the need for this, because I live in Pilsen now. Shout out to Luisito from Disque Radio Domingo, who opened his doors and now I'm his roommate, and it's awesome. But I live in Pilsen, and Pilsen is filled. It's filled with Mexicano iconography, you know, Mexicanx iconography. And for example, the sewage, Las Tapaderas, like they're actually Calendario Aztecas. I've been trying to take pictures of all the Virgenes de Guadalupe. I've probably seen 50. There's of course, they're fucking Frida everywhere. And when I mean everywhere, I mean everywhere. And so it's interesting because now you have these kids that grew up with this iconography. And I feel, I mean, I might be wrong, but for the first time, for some of them, they're actually putting into context, into historical context, all this iconography that is part of their local identity. And you see that. You see their engagement. You see their questions. Every time we talk about a symbol, that it's present throughout the city, or at least in Pilsen, they are really connected to it. And it goes to show you that diversity should not just be represented through the student body, but also with professors. So I don't know. Hopefully, like universities pay attention to this kind of things, because they, when people talk about diversity, they think they're hiring one professor or they have students of colors. That's it. But the reality is that when it comes to diversity, it should be everywhere, you know, not just, yeah, not just with the students. And then I've been, just been busy working with my classes here in Chicago. I think I'm going to be here, but also, I am celebrating my birthday, which is coming, and I'm going to be,
when's your birthday?
September 27th.
Oh.
But at the end of
Virgo.
The month. No, güey, soy Libra.
I don't know. That explains everything.
You're like Aries.
Oh, Leo.
But I'm going to be, their Café Tacuba is performing 3 fucking times in a row, bitch.
¿Ya no estás cansado de esos güeyes, dude?
No, güey, jamás.
Oh my God, you've
cansa-
seen him like 27 times. Give him a break.
18. So I'm going to see them 2 more times. I'm going to see them 2 more times. So in case I die in October, I can say, Emmanuel, se mu- I, this is lo que va a decir en mi lápida. En esta tumba yace Emmanuel Ortega, que envió a Café Tacuba 20 times.
Okay,
so that's,
well,
that's,
it's recorded. I'll make
year.
Sure they put that on your tombstone. Fingers crossed.
I'm not kidding, bitch. If they put that on my tombstone, I'm gonna be very happy.
Really?
So it's gonna be concert number 19 and concert number 20, and I think I'm going on the concert on Friday, which is a 28, and then on Sunday, which is the 30th. But for sure, I already have tickets for the Friday concert. So if anybody is gonna go see Café Tacuba, come say hi. I'm gonna be with my boo And I'm just going to be... You, tú me has visto en un concierto de Café Tacuba, güey. I'm a fucking mess, so I'm so excited.
Yeah, yeah. That's different than your regular life, right?
It is very different.
Like, you look like you're having a seizure at a Café Tacuba concert. I remember like, going with you and your sister one time, and I'm like, can we go? Or should we, like, get help? And my, and your sister was like, I think he's dancing. I'm like, oh, okay. Cool. I'm going to go get a beer.
Oh, my God. And you and I went to the tour where they did Rey, when they did the whole entire album from beginning to end.
Yeah.
And that was why I felt like I was having a seizure, because I saw songs that I haven't seen play live ever. But anyway, I mean, there's times where I go to see Café Tacuba. I'm like, sure, I'm going to go, you know, porque es la confianza, you know, like I just go to those concerts. Pero empieza, güey, como que me entra algo. Like, I don't know what happens to me. And then I feel like my whole body starts shaking. I don't know what's wrong. And I'm fucking 30. I'm going to be 36. And still, nomás de pensar en ir al concierto, güey, se me pone la piel de gallina.
Oh, that's so nice.
But see, like, that used to happen to me, like, with every concert. Every time I would go to a concert, I would listen to the album and prepare and buy tickets in advance, be in line, like, hours before it started. Y ahora ya me vale madre. Pero when it comes to Café Tacuba, I'm still like that. I'm just like, oh, my God, I need to listen to the music and blah, blah, blah. And I dream about it. That's how sick I am. But anyway, enough Café Tacuba talk. So I wanted to ask you something because, again, we haven't done Guaraguara Las Cucharas for a while because, like, we're both very busy. But I've been wanting to talk about Casa de las Flores because finally both of us saw it. I want to get your opinion.
What is my opinion?
Let's first describe what is Casa de las Flores to people.
Okay, spoiler alert. If anybody hasn't seen it, then... we're probably going to go over the whole season, right?
Sure. I mean, I'm just like, in general terms, we don't have to be
fast forward, fast forward, fast forward. So Casa de las Flores, La Casa de las Flores, or The House of right. the Flowers, is a Netflix original series that's like a soap mm-hmm. opera. It's about this family in Mexico. It's about this white family in Mexico that
let's be real.
Owns a flower shop. They run a flower shop, and the patriarch of the family has been living a double life. That's revealed in like the first 5 minutes of the whole thing. And his mistress walks into this huge party they're having for his birthday, and she hangs herself in the middle of the flower shop and while the party's going on outside. And then the whole family kind of scrambles to make sure nobody sees it, because they're a very like elite family in Mexico, and like Vanity Fair is there or whatever, some magazine guy. So they all have to keep up appearances. And that's pretty much what the entire series is about. Like keeping up appearances.
Right.
For
right.
what? I don't know. But it's like a very Mexican thing. Like you don't want your neighbors to think that you guys are, you know, you don't want your, what will the neighbors say kind of a mentality that a lot of Latinos have, you know?
Right.
So it turns out that this guy was living a double life. He even had another daughter with this woman who died. And then it's also revealed in the first episode that the son is having a secret relationship with a man, so he's gay. And then it also there's a lot of really great anti-blackness, because one of the daughters from New York came back to visit, and she brought back a black guy.
Right. So that all those like, interactions are so fucking awkward, but it's like yeah. so true. Like people in I feel like a lot of Mexicans live, I mean, I don't feel, a lot of Mexicans live in a fucking racial bubble, and because race functions very differently in Mexico. And when you're exposed through a third racial party, whatever that is, they don't fucking know what to do with it. And the defense mechanism or the way to deal with it, it's always gonna be fucking humor. Which is very revelatory in the show, but at the same time, it's kind of like, oh, here we go, you know?
Yeah. All that to say, I love the fucking show. I mean, it's so fucking gay. I feel like it was made for gay people.
Right.
Like, I mean, gay male people. I wish, the one thing I do wish is that there was more of like a lesbian storyline present.
Right.
Big spoiler alert. the eldest daughter in the show was married to a man at one point that actually transitioned and is now living as a woman. So there is a trans character in the show, a trans woman in the show, that comes back into the picture, a Spanish woman who's a lawyer who actually helps out because people go to jail and shit in this soap opera.
Me saludas al cacas.
And she talks like that. And so they do share some intimate moments. So that could be considered, that's considered, you know, lady on lady. But other than that, it's pretty like, you know, like heteronormative gay shit in the show.
But that's the beauty of it, because I feel like this is finally a remake of classical soap operas. And that's why a lot of people love it, because this is the shit that we grew up with, but it's for a new generation. So there's a lot of the same topics. When I think of a soap opera, I always think of a casta painting. Like, you just paint things to show you the different races and different classes in Mexico. So in a way, this is a casta painting that has been done for a completely new generation. And it's very present. The life of Mexican soap operas, it's centered not only because it's so melodramatic, but also like jokingly. But the matriarch of the family is Veronica Castro. And oh, Veronica Castro, not only she's amazing, but like she's the queen of soap operas in the 80s. And if you notice, her bedroom, it's filled with roses. And her most famous her most famous soap opera was Rosa Salvaje. Mm-hmm. So there's a nod to that life, to those years, 70s and 80s, because she's been making soap operas in the 1970s. This is bringing back her career, and it's so cool to see, because she doesn't have to do another soap opera. She's doing something completely different.
Okay, so let's I just want to kind of break it down in a more formal way. Like, let's say the things that we don't like about it, and then we'll say the things that we like about it. So what are the things that you don't like about the show?
I wish they would have had an actual trans actor.
Thank you.
Yes, because, I mean, yes, there's a lot of topics all at once that sometimes it feels like they're pushing it. And, like, a lot of the storylines could be spread out in more seasons as opposed to, like, dump it all in us. But at the same time, it's a ridiculous melodramatic comedy, so it does make sense. But that's one of them. Those storyline, I wish it would be handled a little bit more carefully and with an actual trans actor. That's one of my main, like, dislikes about the show.
Yeah.
¿Y tú?
Well, I agree with you on that. And then also, another big spoiler alert, the parallel life that this man was living with his mistress also involved another Casa de las Flores, which is actually a drag queen cabaret on the other side of town.
Glorious.
And so there's a lot, there's like five main drag queens that run the joint. And they all are, they're all impersonators of famous Mexican divas like Yuri, Paulina Rubio, Gloria Trevi. Who else?
Paulina Rubio.
What's her name? Amanda Miguel is there. So,
Paulina is my favorite.
But they totally too Wong Fu'd us. Like, they never. They don't show the drag. They show the one of the drag queens one time out of drag. But anytime that we are at the cabaret, the drag queens are always in full guiche. They're like never.
Right.
Like, we never see their male side.
Because they're accessories, man.
Because they're accessories in the show. So I didn't like that part of the show. I didn't like that. Pretty much all the Mexicans except for the maid and like the hot dancer guy were the only people that were like brown in the show. Like, you're in fucking Mexico, bitch. Like, we should at least see one like brown people on the street, you know? But I will say most of the show is inside of the house and inside of the cabaret, and maybe those are the demographics of that place. So I've been to a lot of parts in Mexico where I'm like, am I in Europe? Because I don't see any people of color here, you know? And I feel like a lot of Mexicans don't see that. But I was very aware of it when I was watching the show. Like, just because they have one, just because they, I feel like just because one of the women had a black boyfriend or fiance or whatever, like
that, like was, they fulfilled that quota.
They're like, yeah, we got the quota for a person of color. Now everybody else can be a white person. And that's exactly what they did with the trans character, was right, for people to be okay with that character being a trans woman. They had to be the whitest of the white, a Spanish trans woman, right? It couldn't be like, mm-hmm, you know, a Mexican, I don't know. I just saw a lot of different, you know, and that person even had a very thick Spanish accent when they spoke, was blonde. So it's like more easy for you to digest this like cookie cutter Barbie looking woman instead of, a more Mexican looking woman, whatever that means. I don't know.
And this is very revelatory about race relations. I don't even feel comfortable using the word race when we talk about Mexico, because it functions very differently. In the States, it's a very binary system. In Mexico, it goes along with class. You cannot talk about race without talking about class. And this show exactly shows you that. So it's very it's very complicated, because we cannot just say, oh, there is or there's no people of color, but it really shows you in a way, like, class weighs heavier than the color of your skin. And that goes back in the colonial period.
I agree with you, and I also disagree, because mm-hmm, I was actually just listening to Tea with Queen and Jay, and they were talking about how many times they've experienced racism. And through that lens of class in the United States. That also exists in the United States. People just don't talk about it as much here. But they were talking about how, and it's happened to me every fucking time I go to Target, this happens to me. People always assume that I work there because, okay, maybe I do wear red sweaters, but but not all the time. I'm like literally just wearing, like, you know, I just wear black all the time, right? So yeah, it's like every, without fail, every single time somebody comes up to me and asks me like, oh, do you know where that? And I'm like, bitch, I don't work here, right? So it's like, it's this thing of like, people of color are always looked at. I think Jay was saying that when she was getting her shoes for her prom, she was at the shoe store with all these white girls her age,
yeah,
her age, like 15 or however old you are when you go to prom, and she was trying on shoes and they asked her for help thinking she worked there, you know what I mean? And that's just like, that stereotype exists in the United States. People can pretend it doesn't, but it totally exists. And in Mexico, it's like super, it's actually
on steroids
in Mexico, for sure.
Yeah. It's crazy. And it is very complicated, but like, you cannot deny that there's like this like deep racial problem in Mexico. It's just that, first of all, people don't know how to talk about it because of nationalisms, because everybody always answers the same way. They're like, what do you mean? Like, we're not like in the States, we're all Mexicans. Like, that doesn't mean fucking shit. You know how many times I've heard that? So many times. So you add the myth of the nation, you add the myth of race through color, and then you add the myth of class through like economics, and what you get is this mumble jumble of racial politics that a show like Casa de las Flores in a way gives you a little bit of a window of it, but it doesn't begin to unravel how fucking complicated. And it's also regional, because the way this shit works in Mexico City, bitch, it's like its own fucking universe. Because like, for example, when you go to Monterrey, you go to Chihuahua, you go to Juarez, that's much newer money. So it works very, very differently than the way that it works in Mexico or Puebla, where like these families have had money for 300-400 years, you know?
Okay, so those are the negative things about the show. There's a lot more, but all that being said, the positive things about it is all of the queer representation on this show.
Right.
Probably most of those actors were not queer, but the fact that there's a bisexual person in the show and it shows like their sexual attraction to both males and females, you know, like,
correct.
And I thought that was important. I have
and the struggles behind that for being in Mexico with that identity.
Yeah, and like having to choose that identity, and it's like, it's almost being bisexual is almost seen as worse because it's like, wait, you have the choice. It's like you have a choice of being with a woman, and you're still gonna be with a man. You know, like that, right. like blows people's minds, and it's like looked at as even more disgusting. They look at bisexual. A lot of people look at bisexuals like. Disgusting, just like sexual perverts, like that can't make up their mind. When in reality, it's like, shit, we should all be like that, you know? Like, who cares?
Right. In Mexico, it's always like, ah, eso ya es maña, eso ya son mañosos. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. like it's a perversion as opposed to like nature, you know?
So I love that the show. One of the characters in the show, it kind of is. He's really fucked up, obviously, but.
He's a horrible person,
but
everybody in that show is horrible people.
Yeah, everybody except for the little girl. Bitch. Okay.
That little girl.
This is something that I need to talk about that I loved about it too. Oh, wait, but to finish that thought, mm-hmm. I loved that it showed him coming to terms with his sexuality and being okay with being bisexual, you know, and just just seeing that realization happen was really cool. Also, showing Mexicans. Like, shout out to Disney and Coco. Wow, great representation. But, oh, my God, how wonderful to see that Mexicans all don't live in dirt huts. You know, like,
exactly.
There's Mexicans that live in houses. There's Mexicans that live in apartments, in what mansions, a concept. In regular houses. There's Mexicans that drive cars and don't just ride on horses. And oh my God,
they have cell phones.
Oh my God, there's Mexicans with cell phones, with televisions. Oh my God.
Yes.
It's wonderful. You know, so I thought that was cool. And oh my God, Mexicans with trans lawyers. How progressive. So that was awesome. And then finally, when there is kids on a show, I'm always like, fuck, this kid is going to ruin everything. There's nothing that I hate more than an annoying, bad child actor. Oh, my God. You know what ruined Mad Men for me? That little girl. Such a bad actor. I just wanted to punch that kid in the head. Like, why do they hire these actors?
Yeah.
These kids, actors. But let me tell you, the girl on Casa de las Flores, holy shit, that girl is an amazing actor. Go back. If you've already seen the show, go back to the scene where they are sitting in the diner and the family tells her brother, I think, and her and the older sister tell mm-hmm. the little girl that her mother has passed away. And the reaction that girl gave, I was
like, I remember
that. That is the realest reaction I've ever... It was incredible. She is such a great actor. And she's kind of goofy, but that's her character. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You know, and like, this is a tool of melodrama and sentimentality. Like, the weight of the fucking world always falls on the kid. And kids become like, think about the kids on the border right now and how they've been exploited, their image. Like, the weight of politics and also, I mean, in movies too, like, sometimes always falls into the kids. So the idea is for us to find empathy through the bodies of kids. Not in the show, man. Like, this is a girl who knows what's up. She's the only fucking sane in the whole thing.
That little girl,
that's amazing,
is the only sane person in that whole fucking show.
Correct.
That little girl. And the puppet. That sock puppet. They're the only sane people on the show.
Yeah, I appreciate also the queer representation because, like, I started rewatching this soap opera from the 90s called Mirada de Mujer. And I remember being a teenager coming out of the closet. And in that show, they talk about homosexuality. Wait, in like three what?
You're gay?
Okay, I didn't want to come out officially, but yes, I am gay since 1982.
Oh my God, I support you.
Gracias, muchas gracias.
I'm here for you.
So I must have been like 12, 13 years old, and the fact that I heard the word homosexual on Mexican TV, I was glued to that fucking show because, again, representation. So I watched the whole entire soap opera hoping that the theme of homosexuality will come out again because I couldn't see myself represented absolutely anywhere. And here we are, like, what, 15 years later or so? And, oh no, like 20 years later. And there's so much that has happened. And even though it's like, duh, like these are the type of topics that should be common, especially when it comes to queerness, it's still very, very, very different from anything that we've seen before. And that's not to say that Casa de las Flores lives in a vacuum. There's a lot of other shows that La Universidad Iberoamericana has been putting out for a while. One of them is Soy Tu Fan, and also Club de Cuervo started before, but they're all super heteronormative. So this is why people are going crazy for this show. Like, if you haven't watched it, like, you have to tune in. It's so good.
Yeah, and if you don't speak Spanish, well, guess what, Mimi? It's on Netflix. And you can watch it dubbed in English. And I actually started watching it in English just to see if it translates.
Does it?
It's not as good. It's not, but they did a great job. Like, they did a really good job capturing the tone of it. So if you are wondering, like, oh, I don't know if this show's for me because I don't speak Spanish, I'm not going to get it, I can't read so fast with the subtitles, you can watch it in English. And it's pretty good. Especially if you don't know what their original voices sound like, I think you'll be fine.
Yeah. And I mean, and plus there's this thing called subtitles.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes it's so visual, you don't have time to read the subtitles, you know? So,
right. I feel like us as, I don't know, like in Mexico, I grew up reading subtitles since I was a kid. Cause like, that's all you go watch in the movie theater, right? It's not even a thing. Like, we don't even think about it. And somehow here in the States, watching a movie with subtitles, like, it's like this, it's like a job. I don't understand.
You know what's
it.
Crazy is I just started watching everything with subtitles anyway, even if it's in English.
Yeah.
I watch it with subtitles just so that I can, just so I can learn how to read.
Not only that, like I cannot watch British shows without subtitles. Even the cooking, what is the name of the one you like, the cooking show?
Oh, the British Bake Off.
I started watching that, and I need
don't
subtitles.
Don't watch the new season. Those people. Oh my God. Okay, are we done with Casa de las Flores?
I guess we are.
Oh, also, what I like.
Wait.
One thing that I loved about it too that I didn't mention is that. The fact that the family goes to therapy is awesome.
Yes. Yeah, so pretty, like collectively.
Shout out to the show for putting a Mexican family in therapy. Like they all, not all of them, but most, I mean, even though the situation is really fucked up, at least they're going to therapy because turns out the therapist isn't who we think he is. Oh my God. It's a soap opera. Y'all got to watch.
Right. And if you want to hear more Latinx voices talking about this show, please listen to Cabronas y Chingonas, their episode on Casa de las Flores, and Viva, which is one of our favorite movies.
Yes.
We talked about Viva before, and Chilaquiles and Netflix, or Netflix and Chilaquiles episodes, over a year ago. They talk about those two things, and it's a great, great episode. And I'll put the link in the website.
Yes, there's a lot of Latinx podcasts that have talked about it, so make sure you... If you have an app, like I think it's called like Acast or Castbox or Stitcher, you can search and just search Casa de las Flores and you can find a lot. I know that Sobremesa podcast did an episode about Casa de las Flores and a lot of different podcasts have mentioned it. So definitely listen to that. Okay.
Yes, bitch.
They just released a new season of The Great British Baking Show or whatever on Netflix. It's trash. Don't watch it. Because guess what? Mary Berry is not there. And
there's a weird guy.
Yeah, fuck that guy. And that motherfucker did blackface like last year. Like, don't support that show with that guy in it. So I found out the tea, bitch, because I was like, where the fuck is Mary Berry? And why isn't she on the screen right now tasting this 3-layer ganache cake? What the fuck? So you want to know what happened?
Tell me.
Okay, I'm probably going to make half of this shit up because I read it really quick when I Googled it. But this is the story that I made up in my head. So what happened was is the show got really popular and it used to air on BBC. In
England.
In the UK, not just in England. There's more countries. So they sold that show to PBS. So we've been watching British Bake Off the Great British Baking. It's called British Bake Off in the UK, but it's called the Great British Baking Show here because of some copyright bullshit from Pillsbury. I'm not going to get into that.
Oh, Lord.
What I am going to get into is that I think it was like, I want to say like maybe like 6th, 7th season around then, the producers started to like kind of influence the hosts, Sue and Mel, to like in like kind of like start drama between some of the people because they wanted it to be more of a drama reality show.
Right.
And Mel and Sue were so uncomfortable by that because that show prides itself on just being like such a nice show where people are just baking and getting along, you know?
That's it's why so zen.
That's why people love it. I fall asleep watching it. So and that's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
So
shout out to Kirsten.
Shout out to Kirsten who falls asleep listening to our podcast. You shady bitch. So, okay. She doesn't even know that I said that because she's already sleeping.
No, because she's
by this point, she's we're on snooze. So
sweet dreams,
Kirsten. Okay, so what happened was they tried to do some fake drama between Mel and Sue and one of the people, whatever, and they walked off the set. Mary Berry was upset about it, but the show must go on, right? Cut to next season, and I think they offered something like $25 million to change the show from BBC to Channel 4, which is like the trash reality show channel, which is like the only thing I watch anyway, so I don't know why I'm talking shit, but... when I was in the UK, that's all I watched. But
yeah,
Mary Berry was like, I'm not going to go to that channel. Like, what the fuck? I want this show to stay classy and I don't want it to become Survivor. And that's what the producers wanted to do. Like, make it more dramatic, right, like US shows because it's so popular here in the US. And so then Mary Berry, Sue and Mel left the show because Los Idiotas sold the show without telling them that they were going to sell it, like from under them. And they didn't have contracts for any of the people on the show. So the only person that stayed was Paul Hollywood. And he's the only one that's there from the original cast of the Great British Baking Show.
Wow, that's fucking crazy.
Drama. So
they decided to sell the show without even considering the actors and nothing like that. I mean, the host or anything.
Yes, and to be honest, I watched the last season that's on Netflix with the new host, that weird rock and roll dude that has like a... His face looks like...
Como que lo estiraron y lo volvieron a shrinkear.
Bitch, I was gonna say that. I was like, this shrinky dink looking ass face he's got... He looks like Laffy Taffy. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with his face.
Laffy Taffy.
He does. He does. You know, like when you get Laffy Taffy and you like roll it up into a ball. Anyway.
That's how it looks.
That guy is great when he's like being a weirdo. Like he was on that show Mighty Boosh. Did you ever watch that?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Anyway, he's just not funny. He's not good. And then the other host, I like the other host, but I don't know. They just don't have good chemistry. British Bake Off, what are you doing? Whatever you need to pay Mary Berry to come back, please at least bring Mary Berry back. That's who I want to see. I want to see Mary Berry. I want to see her in some like high waisted mom jeans. Like I miss her.
not only we miss her, like we want to hear her voice.
Yes, yes.
Because that's
and we
want to
see that wrinkled face in HD with that like smeared lipstick on her top lip. I need to see it. I'm sick of seeing that fucking asshole Paul Hollywood's fucking bloated alcoholic red face looking ass. He can go home. I don't care about him and his blue eyes. That's all you got going for you, dude. Like, come on.
Damn.
I'm just mad. I love Mel and Sue. They were so good. And Mary Berry is just like the ultimate like cooking grandma, baking grandma. She's so awesome.
Bitch, remember when we had our episode with Yosimar that we were trying to come up with names for fake managers? Like, that would be a good name.
Paul Hollywood?
No, la chava. ¿Cómo dijiste?
Mary Berry? Sue?
Yes. Sorry, Mary Berry will be
That's
like
somebody's real name.
But I know. It just sounds like it's just like a good Becky name that we need for a fake secretaria, you know?
Yeah, true. Okay, well, I'm running out of time. I need to go, but let's take a little break and then come back with recommendations. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Oh my God, Babalito, I am so hungry, and this is the future, and I'm in Las Vegas, and there's only one place that I want to be. You know what it is?
Let me guess. Lo original Lindo Michoacán.
The original Lindo Michoacán. Yes. The original Lindo Michoacán on East Desert Inn. I'm so excited because they have partnered with Latinos Who Lunch. And if you go there, you can say, guess what, Mimi? I listen to Latinos Who Lunch. Give me a 25% discount. And they're going to look at you and be like, wait, Latinos Who Lunch? Are you sure? And you're going to say, yes, Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast. They said that if we listen to them and we come here, we get a discount on our meal. And the waiter's going to be like, are you sure? Yes, and then they give you 25% off. Can you believe that?
Bitch, that's exactly what happened to me. I went there and they look at me like I was crazy. They're like,
you know what happened?
Déjeme le pregunto a la host.
Yes, you know why? Because it's why? White people. When it's not white people doing, because you know white people love a discount, girl. And so they're so confused when it's not white people asking for the discount. Uh-huh. So this is a call to action. Latinos in Las Vegas, when you go to the Michoacán, ask for the discount. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. You work really hard, and Lindo Michoacán loves us, and we love them, and we love their food, their handmade tortillas, the chips, the chips, the salsa.
Las carnitas de Coca-Cola y la pinche sopa de fideo que la alucino, güey. I fucking miss that shit. So good.
Lindo Michoacán. Save water. Drink margaritas. And we're back.
Yeah.
Hi. Can we talk about that shirt you're wearing? It's like turquoise with it looks like
con un pinche zarape,
it looks like you found some like fantasy. A zarape roadkill that you like put on your wow, look at that. You have like a corseted front.
So this is from Guanajuato.
Yeah.
It goes along with my fucking stone for energy.
And what is the what stone are you wearing?
Este malaquite.
Ooh, yeah, that's true.
No digas nada. Malachite, and then this hat was actually hand stitched in Michoacán.
Wow, how authentic. Okay.
Pilsen is getting the Mexican out of me.
Oh wow. Oh, that's what it took?
To move to
you
Chicago,
you moving to
yes.
Chicago to take the Mexican out. Right. All right. So do you have any recommendations this week, Babalekis?
I do. I don't have music, but I do have recommendations. So I started watching cartoons with my boo. And I was like, I don't never watch cartoons. And this is a series from 2007, 2008. It's called Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Oh, I heard of this.
Bitch, this is the perfect show. The development of the character. Everything is fucking amazing. I'm not even gonna tell you what it is. It's just a made up world where they're fighting against one single nation, which is the Fire Nation, and a lot of things happen in between. And at the end, you start realizing that we all need each other. And it's a beautiful thing because in media in the U.S., we pretend to celebrate diversity, and what we do is we highlight difference. And this show is doing the opposite, or did the opposite. So fast forward to a couple years later, they actually try to do a movie. The movie is fucking terrible. All the characters in the movie are actually white, and that's the opposite of what you see in the show. Like it's so different in the cartoon. But I just find out today, shout out to Miguel from Dallas who gave me this information, that their Netflix is actually putting together a series of the show, and they actually said that. They said, we are very conscious about the fact that they're gonna be brown characters, people of color, not just white characters, which was one of the reasons why people hated that fucking horrible movie that wasn't even called Avatar, because there was some conflict with, you know, like that bad movie with the blue people. So again, the cartoons, you can find them on iTunes. It's Avatar, The Last Airbender. I know they're cartoons, but it's probably the most adult, the most zen, and the most beautiful thing you're going to see in a while. So awesome. That's my recommendation. Yes.
Thank you. I'm going to recommend an album. So No Name's new album came out last week, and I've listened to it a few times, and it is amazing.
I got to get into that.
So listen to that. And I also want to recommend that you go on iTunes, and like Babalito said, even though we don't identify as Hispanic on this show, and I actually tweeted today, like, thanks for the shout out, but we haven't identified as Hispanic since the 90s, so but
I know, and our first episode was all about that too.
But it's okay, it's not iTunes fault, because they didn't make up this fake holiday month or whatever that mm-hmm. is happening. So but thank you, and I suggest that you look through that Apple Podcast list. We tweeted it, so you can check it out. We'll probably retweet it a couple more times. So you can all click on there. There seems to be some podcasts that I've never heard before, so I'm super excited. And of course, wow. Some of our faves are on there, like Tamarindo and Cabronas y Chingonas, Super Mamas, of course. It's awesome to see all of our friends being celebrated. So shout out to Apple Podcasts for doing that. You know, I always am torn about it, because it's like, hey, Latinx podcasts exist all year long. So right. I want to also give a shout out to Spotify, because Spotify actually shouts out Latinx podcasts all year long. So a lot of my cousins that have Spotify, once in a while will go into the Discover section or the Browse section, and there sometimes is a tab for like Latino podcasts, and we're usually on that, on the top of those lists. So shout out to all of the podcast apps that have Latino podcast as a category, because the visibility is important when it comes to being represented on all of those apps.
That's right. That's right. And thank you, everybody, for their patience. I know we haven't done Guara La Cucharas every other week like we normally do. Things are crazy, but here we are. And thank you for staying tuned. Yes.
You got that?
Yes.
You want to do it again, or is that okay?
Nah, me vale vergas, güey.
Eres un pendejo, güey. You know what I really am excited about?
What?
I'm going to Guatemala in January for like 2 or 3 weeks. And I can't.
You're
going to
come back with a thick ass accent,
I
bitch.
I can't wait. Because hanging out with your bitch ass, I talk like a fucking. I'm not going to say what I was going to say. I sound like a Mexican.
100%. Ten cuidado, güey.
I know. I'm going to be attacked by the Mexico hive.
By your people.
By your people. But. I also want to give a couple shout outs. Well, I just want to give shout outs to all of our listeners who have been so supportive. You know, it is really hard to do this podcast, especially with us living in different cities now. And I'm like, pretty much every month I'm in a different city, so I have to like carry all my recording equipment with me. But I haven't had time to express my gratitude for the people that have been donating on Venmo and on Cash App and on PayPal. We're saving all that money because what I really, really want to do is actually hire somebody to help us so that our show can come out. It's coming out every week, but somebody to help us produce the show so that it's easier for us. And then also to set up a merch store, because I know y'all want Latinos Who Lunch merch. We just literally, Babelito is teaching class. He's a professor. I'm installing artwork pretty much 8 to 12 hours a day every yeah. day. And this is really a labor of love for us. So we really appreciate it. And to all the listeners who like, I mean, and shout out to my friend Zach, for example, who is also came out all the way to Pennsylvania to help me with my installation, who was originally a listener and now a friend. People like Luis, people like, you know, so many of our supporters. It's because of you that keeps this podcast going. So just a big, big shout out and a big virtual hug to all of you, because in retrospect, we should have probably taken a summer hiatus like most podcasts. But you know, that's how busy we are. We don't have time to plan. So instead of planning, we just keep doing this podcast.
That's funny.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Ay, Dios mío. All right.
Dito.
I'm done talking. Are you
done? Okay, girl. Yes, I'm done. I gotta go find some more delicious Mexican food because I'm hungry.
I'm gonna go meet up with some friends. I'm so excited. I think we're gonna go to Brooklyn. I don't know. This place, first of all, oh my God, can I talk about something real quick?
Pues dale,
there
dale.
Is this fantasy about New York City that I don't understand. Like, this place is fucking gross. Like, this place is so. You know, I've traveled the fucking world, and this is the dirtiest. You know what? This is the thing. This is what I wanted to bring up, also because of Casa de las Flores, is like people talk so much shit about like third world countries and Mexico
being
and this
dirty.
And that being dirty. I'm like, bitch, have you ever been to New York? Like, I love it. I get the charm of New York, subways, woo, woo, woo. But it's
woo,
like,
woo, woo, woo.
Yeah, you never heard that expression?
No.
Oh. So I'm from the Bronx now, so I can say that. So, oh my God. And I'm also wearing red. That's not a good thing. But okay. Anyway, so listen, I've been to many places in Mexico, and no city in Mexico compares to how dirty this city is.
Exactly. Thank you so much for that.
I'm just saying. I am just saying. I get it.
Say it, girl.
I love
say
the charm.
Girl.
I love squeezing into buses and subways like a fucking sardine. I get it. It's part of the experience, but it's like, what the fuck? Anyway, that being said, any New York listeners, reach out. Remember, I'm going to be at Scum on Friday in Brooklyn, and then I'm going to be at Radio Menea's live taping. Join me if I do a meetup. Maybe I'll do a meetup next week. I'll put it on my social media so we can all hang out.
Okay.
Okay. And as always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com. Email us. Oh, bitch, you know what? We need to do it. we should record a listener letter episode next week. We have many letters.
I went through the email today and I was like, fuck, I'm overwhelmed. And there's some really good ones. So
I'm going to organize the email so that next week we can record a listener letter episode.
Oh, my God.
It's
going to
be
fun.
Okay, great. Thank you for everybody that sent us questions. You can send them to asklwlpod@gmail.com. asklwlpod@gmail.com if you have any questions. And if you have time, again, you can donate to Latinos Who Lunch, PayPal, Venmo. I'm going to try to, once we get somebody to help us, we'll get a Patreon eventually. Also, if you have time, please leave us a review on iTunes. 5 stars.
5 stars only.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are.
And visibility is the beginning of good representation.
I'm Fabi Fab.
And I'm Bobby Luto.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.